Catholic identity and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ's Church.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm Sandra McDevitt. Today in Stories from the Heart, a pastor new to the parish removes two angel statues. Are there consequences with his parishioners? Or maybe the angels themselves? Stay tuned to another charming story on Stories from the Heart. Angels of Advocates. Father Ward had just finished dinner with his three curates. He now sat alone in his room with a head full of pleasant memories of the past 7 years, and a few others that were not so pleasant. The parish which he served was the smallest of many on the northwest side of Chicago. People who measured religion by spires and masonry always said, "Poor St. Valerie's." It was true that St. Valerie's was rather poor, but could buy no property in which to recreate its children. It had no place to put up spires, because over the low-ceiling church, the old school, and you won't find even the most eccentric architect putting spires through the floors of a classroom. So, Father Valerie's did not look like much in comparison to the surrounding parishes, but it was very rich in another way. It served 900 middle-class families. A well-balanced congregation made up of Poles, Irish, Germans, and Italians. The priests at St. Valerie's fitted naturally into the local picture. They would always wear their cassocks on communion calls. The people didn't think it strange because they were to bring the host, and how else should they be dressed? When there was no housekeeper at St. Valerie's, Father Warren would often have to shop himself at the supermarket over on Belmont Street. The customers were his parishioners anyway, and they were used to seeing the priest in his cassock. They were not glad, however, to seem reduced to the necessity of doing his own shopping. So they would offer their services to him. "We'll bring some spaghetti over tomorrow, Father. And maybe some Polish sausage, too," they would say. So as he sat in his room in the anniversary of his coming to St. Valerie's, he thought of how much the friendliness of these parishioners had meant to him. He then remembered his first big surrender to a little demand. It had nothing to do with important things like building programs or policy changes in parish societies and the like. It was on the issue of two little angels which perched over the church altar. He not only surrendered on this issue, but actually beat an embarrassed retreat. The difficulty over Father Warren's appointment to St. Valerie's came out of the blue. He made the usual mistake of trying to change things overnight. The sanctuary in the church was his first concern. It was uncomfortably crowded with statues of kneeling angels. They were white and beautiful, but there were too many of them. Beside the altar, two heroic angels held clusters of little yellow lights, and dozens of other wings stretched to the right and to the left and skyward. Father Warren's first impression was that the sanctuary resembled an angelic aerodrome, with lots of useless planes pushing against one another. He removed the little angels from the top of the altar. Well, no one could object to that. Well, how wrong he was in thinking that nobody would object. Shortly afterwards, another committee came in to find out why the little angels had been put away. It was composed of three women and three men, representing the oldest and best elements of the parish. Father Warren went into the parlor and faced them across the desk, prepared to weigh cordially any proposal they had to make. He must be reasonable and listen to them sympathetically. Joseph Quilty, but evidently been chosen as their spokesman, was a middle-aged man with gray hair and large, quiet eyes. "I hope you will not take offense, Father," said Joseph. "It's about the two angels that, well, disappeared." He sounded as if he hoped that someone had stolen them, which would then exonerate the pastor. Joseph was a daily communicant and belonged to the St. Vincent de Paul Society. this confronting his new pastor was not to his liking. But the others on the committee were not articulate, so he tried to go on. "Joe," Father Ward interrupted, "those angels did not disappear. I took them down. The sanctuary was, well, too cluttered up." There was a dead silence in the room, as if an irreverence had been uttered in the sanctuary itself. "Well, it is like this, Father. Those angels were there for 50 years, ever since the church was built. And I'm sure you don't realize how much love people have for all those statues." "I know, Joseph, but we have to make progress. We can't stand still. Everything has to improve." A shadow crossed the face of Joseph. "But we are improving, Father," he said. He was not going to give up. "We have a new school. The church is fixed up real nice and everything. But we want to keep our angels." Father Warren saw immediately that logic wouldn't work. He was not up against an argument, but a sentiment which was simple and direct. "Most of us have been here for 50 years, Father Warren, since the beginning of the parish." Quilty's eyes grew misty as he looked into the past. "We kids always thought those angels had a smile on their faces, and as long as they smiled and looked after the parish..." "Well, I know it sounds foolish, Father, but..." The pastor became nettled. It was a shame of the scene that followed as he thought it over on his anniversary night. He would have given a great deal to be able to take it back. "Nonsense, Mr. Quilty," his voice became icy. "Sounds like a lot of superstition to me. Those things are just statues. They can't smile at you." "But you believe in angels, that they watch over us?" "Of course I do, Mr. Quilty. Are you questioning my orthodoxy?" The pastor's neck had reddened underneath his collar. "Those statues themselves don't watch over you. This is a very childish sentiment. It smacks, as I said, of superstition." "I know, Father, and I'm sorry. We know that it's what's behind the statues that we pray to and believe in. We sort of believe, well, they're a symbol to us over all these years. Very little trouble has hit the parish. But maybe we did put too much stock in the smiling angels." At that, Father Warren smiled a little. "Well," he said, "I am sorry I was so harsh about your nice old tradition. Let's forget about it, and I'll try to get along without those two statues." The committee left, but the issue didn't. It was never brought up again in words, but Father Warren felt it sneaking around him all the time. The older parishioners became somewhat distant. They bowed formally at him when he moved his cart along the aisles of groceries at the supermarket. The offers to cook his meals were not as frequent nor as wholehearted. He held his ground, however, even when there came an unprecedented series of major irritations. A sump pump on the rectory broke and had to be replaced at a cost of several thousand dollars. The heating system in the newly built school stalled and entailed tearing up many yards of new tile. And two stained glass windows in the church cracked through the middle, one of them depicting the angel Gabriel at the Annunciation, a fact that should have given Father Warren pause. Of course, there were whispered opinions among the people about these reverses. Father Warren was too sensible to think that angels were taking pics on him for the removal of their symbols on earth. He was fond of angels in their proper and dignified place. Certainly all this misfortune had nothing to do with the statues. The pure spirits which stood behind the plaster were incapable of revenge. The air around St. Valerie's worsened, and the troubles continued. Father Warren remained entrenched in his stand. Soon he felt he couldn't ignore the case any longer. The time for prayer had come, so he walked over to the church. Slowly he made his way up to the sanctuary. He had to go behind the altar to reach the sacristy, where the light switches were located. And as he fumbled along in the dark, his foot struck a solid object. He threw out his arms as he pitched head first to the floor. For a moment he lay still, and then slowly got to his feet. He tensed his lips as he saw the dim outline of the two angels which he had stored behind the altar. "You do seem to be giving me trouble," he murmured, as he reached up to the light panel. He limped back to the church and decided to sit down in the front pew for a while. He felt better and prayed to the Holy Spirit for guidance on how to handle the situation of the statues. He looked over the statue of the little flower and St. Anthony. People certainly were right in honoring them. They felt good when statues were around. They were something to focus their prayer on as they prayed to the individuals they represented. But to think that bad luck could result from not having statues around or removing them was dead wrong. He would compose a sermon along those lines and insist on the correct distinctions. He must face the nonsense. He rose from the pew to turn off the light. He peered at the two statues and was surprised to note that they were pure white and beautiful. Somebody had scrubbed them. He stood for a moment thinking, and his thoughts went straight to his heart. Seized by an impulse, he leaned down and pulled the angels over to the altar steps and looked at the high perches from which they had been banished. He went to the sacristy and brought out a tall ladder, looking to see if anyone was watching. He managed to reach the top and his head bumping the ceiling to set the first angel in place. The second angel, the one on the gospel side, was much more difficult. By the time he was halfway up with it, he was trembling with pain and exhaustion. He felt the ladder lurch and reached out for a handhold on the altar. At the same time, the statue slipped out of his grasp and fell to the floor. He braced himself for the sound of the crash, but none came. From beneath him rose a familiar voice. "Nice going, Father," it said. "It was good. I didn't have to catch you, too." "Joe," exclaimed Father Warren, "how glad I am to see you. You'll finish this little job for me, won't you?" he said, waving an arm toward the empty pedestal. Later that evening, when the pastor went back into the church to pray, he saw a look at the replaced statues, and his heart did a little skip. In the dim light, he could have sworn he saw them frown. Father Warren spoke at all the masses the next Sunday. He outlined the church's teaching on statues, the honor due to saint, and the reverence that Christians should extend to the holy creatures of God. At each succeeding Mass, the sermon became shorter. At the 12 o'clock, he just brushed the surface of the theology he had so carefully thought out. But by now, he was convinced that no one was listening to it. The hundreds of people he faced that morning were looking above the altar at the two angels which had been restored to their kingdom. They, like the angels up there, where they had been for 50 years, and they felt very warm inside because they were there. And they felt very warm inside about their pastor because he had put them up again. So, Father Warren, on the 7th anniversary of his pastorate, had many reasons to be grateful. The friendliness of his people had returned slowly and warm, like the dawn of a summer day. The grandfather clock below Father Warren's room struck 12. He was entering his 8th year at St. Valerie's, and a smile spread over his face. He felt that he was right in taking down the angels, originally. He was sure of this, however. He would never push them around again. They had too many squatters' rights on lofty pedestals and in people's hearts. Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story, Angels Have Advocates, was written by Edward Daly from his book, Angels Under Wraps. For a copy of this story, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through